The reading from the Bible this morning is from Acts chapter 14, beginning at verse 21, and it's from the New Living Bible. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Then they traveled back through Pisidia to Amphilia. They preached the word in Perga, then went down to Attalia. And finally, they returned by ship to Antioch of Syria, where their journey had begun. The believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. And they stayed there with the believers for a long time. As Pastor Laura comes to bring us the message, I just want to pray for her first. Open eye prayer. Let's just pray. Lord, you know that her health has been compromised since she's come back from the Dominican Republic, perhaps connected with that. But Lord, may the power of your Spirit come upon her, and may your healing come upon her, and give wisdom to the doctors in the days ahead. Thank you for your servant, Laura. Amen.
Thank you so much, Marian. Back when I was first married, I learned how to do stained glass. I made a few projects for myself and then some glass cupboard doors for my parents. I still have one, actually, I need to finish. And I made this eagle. It's a very large piece, and it took a lot of time and effort to do this. One portion on the top, the blue glass on the very top, was actually supposed to be one piece of glass. But I broke it several times trying to make the proper cuts. Indalus has made stained glass projects. Maybe he can relate to that. I even had to go and buy more glass. And in the end, you can see I cut it into several pieces. I gave this away as a thank you gift. But you know, when you give something away, there's this emotional pull as, you know, you've given all this time and care into over a project just then to release it, giving it away, knowing that you'll probably never see it again. One person, in response to being asked how it felt having people buy their paintings, said, "It's like sending children off to college," and you guys can relate to this. You don't know what company they'll get into. You don't know whether people will look after them. With paintings, you don't know whether they will hang them somewhere special or just shove them in an attic and forget them. As Marian read in Acts 14, verse 26 tells us how they let Paul and Barnabas go. The Christians there prayed over them and released them to go and tell others about the good news of Jesus. They didn't know what Paul and Barnabas would face, but entrusted them to the grace of God. 2 weeks ago, several of our youth were commissioned as they left to go work at camp this summer. Today, we acknowledged Ben graduating and prayed for him as he'll head off to Germany in the fall. Next Sunday, we'll pray for the serve team that will be leaving for Saskatchewan. When we pray for people, entrusting them into the grace of God, we lay hands on them. The laying on of hands with prayer signifies to commend or entrust the person to the Lord. It's a way of really relinquishing control, of declaring publicly that they are now responsible to the Lord himself, entrusting them to Jesus, knowing that by his Holy Spirit, he will equip, guide, warn, and encourage them. All of it has released and entrusted many people to the grace of God. Just in the last 10 years, we've ordained Grant Hill, laying hands on him for ministry and releasing him to then go minister over in Vancouver Island. We released Jason Burt to further studies at Baylor University. We've entrusted to the grace of God many others who've left for ministry opportunities. Reflect back to Diana Stobie, The Hills, John Anderson, The Lunns, Wanda Davies, and was mentioned Sarah Lena as they've gone on short mission trips. And that list can just go on and on. We've also prayed and entrusted to God's grace many people who have moved away. And I think of the Inslees and the Lemkes and many others. And then there are people like Daniela and Ivan who left for Bulgaria a few months ago that we unfortunately did not get to pray over. And I apologize to those of you who are new and don't know any of these people that I have just listed. But it's been difficult to let these people go. You wonder, well, will they be cared for? What difficulty will they face? Will there be people that will gather around them and pick them up? But we entrust them to the grace of God. In this chapter, having been prayed over, released, and entrusted to the grace of God, we read that Paul and Barnabas came to the city of Iconium. There they began by speaking in the local synagogue, and as a result, many Jews and Greeks came to faith. But the unbelieving Jews were not happy with this and stirred up discontent, sowing mistrust and suspicion. One translation says, poisoned their minds. And one day, upon discovering that there was a plot against them, with people even planning to beat them up, Paul and Barnabas leave and they go to the next towns of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe. And there they share the good news. In Lystra, they meet a man who was unable to walk. The man was lame. They healed him, he jumped up, and he began to walk. A similar situation, if you recall, back to the beginning of the book of Acts when Peter and John healed a man who was outside of the temple gate. Well, this naturally caused quite a stir. And the people responded by saying, these men are gods, calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes. The priest of the local Zeus shrine organized a parade with oxen and garlands and ready to offer a sacrifice. And their response that they had here could be maybe traced to a legend where Zeus and Hermes visited the area disguised as ordinary men. And they were turned away from many homes where they sought lodging. But they were finally then taken in by an elderly couple, and the gods then turned that house into a temple and destroyed all the houses that rejected them. Well, when Paul and Barnabas hear about this parade and the plans to offer sacrifices to them, as you can imagine, they were very upset and tried to stop them. Verse 15 in the message says, waving their arms, they interrupted the parade, calling out, what do you think we're doing? We're not gods. We are men just like you, and we're here to bring you the message, to persuade you to abandon these silly God superstitions and embrace God himself, the living God. We don't make God. He makes us. And all of this, sky, earth, sea, and everything in them. Because of their lack of understanding, Paul begins at the beginning, distinguishing the Lord God from the pagan gods, pointing out that he is creator and sustainer of everything, and that he is the living God who calls us to turn to him in repentance. One issue resolved. But the Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who were opposing the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, show up, ready to just stamp out the work. Having caught up with Paul and Barnabas, they turn the crowd against them, and they beat Paul unconscious. They drag him outside of the town and leave him for dead. But the disciples came and gathered around him. He came to and got up. And Paul went back into town and the next day then left with Barnabas for Derbe. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine that kind of perseverance. I'd want to go home, nurse my wounds, complain to others, and stay away. But he persevered. They went on to preach in Derbe, and more people came to faith. After this, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. for the purpose of strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. They urged the Christians there to stick with what they had begun to believe and to not quit, making it clear to them that it wasn't going to be easy, saying anyone signing up for the kingdom of God has to go through plenty of hard times. As we've worked our way through the book of Acts, we get a glimpse of what these early Christians went through. We see the incredible things that occurred and a lot of difficulty, healings and stonings. Back at Pentecost, there were those who were thrilled, but there were also those who were angry. N.T. Wright comments how there are so many barriers in the way, so much anger against the way the world is, often with people simultaneously blaming God for all the bad and declaring that they don't believe in him. So much distortion of what the message is. Taking the message of Jesus into the world is uncomfortable, but it's also unstoppable. Even though these early disciples went through hard times, the message that they preached is still the good news. Paul points out that struggles and hardship of various kinds are not unusual for the Christian. They're to be expected. Hardship is part of discipleship. When Paul sends Timothy to visit the believers in Thessalonica, he writes in 1 Thessalonians 3, "He's our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But as you know, that we are destined for such troubles." On this past Tuesday, we celebrated the life of Doreen Lonergan. The flowers are on the communion table are from her service. Doreen was a faithful part of this congregation for many years. And Doreen faced many challenges throughout her life. And it was so incredible to see her fortitude and how she persevered through all these challenges, holding on to God's love for her. We had a strawberry tea here on Thursday, and we sang the hymn Day by Day. And I thought about Doreen and this text that we are looking at today. The hymn says, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." The third verse begins with, "All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of his grace." Entrusted to the grace of God. In Acts 20:24, Paul says, "I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." We will all go through struggles. And as one author notes, the struggle may be with temptation, sickness, economic reversal, a difficult neighbor, or the costliness of the stand taken for Christ. But we do have to be wise. Twice in this chapter, Paul and Barnabas leave a situation because of a hostile environment. It wasn't safe for them. They demonstrated boldness, and they demonstrated wisdom. Sometimes suffering and difficulty come because we are not being wise. We need to be sensitive to how our actions and words are maybe causing undue antagonism. For example, you know, when you go to other countries, it's important to be aware of cultural differences so as not to bring undue offense. You know, in Greece, apparently, you know, extending your hand and waving your arm, well, that's actually an insulting gesture. In Buddhist countries, the head is considered sacred. So patting someone on the head, even a little child kind of, you know, rustling their hair, well, that's a major no-no. When I lost my voice, I was doing this. Yeah, thumbs upward. Everything's great. Well, in parts of Iran, Greece, and other countries, that is very offensive. There are things that we can do to avoid creating problems and animosity. And we also need to be aware of times when we are to leave a hostile situation. But sometimes we avoid suffering in a way that's actually out of disobedience. If Paul had not preached, he would not have endured suffering. The New International Commentary, I thought, stated it well, saying, "If we remain quiet about Christ in our workplaces, we may avoid suffering. We can avoid fatigue if we refuse to assist our neighbor who is sick and in need of help. We can avoid inconvenience and pain if we refuse to care for the member of our small group who's had a nervous breakdown." And the comment is further made, "Those who miss the hardships of the cross will also miss the prizes of the kingdom." When we hold back, we miss the difficulty, but we also miss the miracles. And I wonder, do we see a lack of miracles, like the healing of this lame man, because we're not willing to take the risk of being stoned? I think sometimes maybe we hold back because we don't realize what we have to offer. That, yeah, we're not perfect. We struggle. We have questions. But that must not hold us back. For we know the one who holds life. As Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." The truth is, there is forgiveness of sins, not just a comforting spirituality, and the hope of a new world. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have each been entrusted with the ministry of the gospel of grace. It's not a matter of, you know, just those working in ministry. It's something that everyone is called to. So how might you be a witness today? I chatted with one of the directors of Alpha Canada this past week. Alpha is a great tool for sharing the grace of God. But what is needed is inviting people to come. It's being bold enough to invite a coworker, your neighbor, or a relative to attend with you. Alpha is currently redoing their marriage course, updating it and then putting into a similar format like the Alpha film series. Actually, my daughter Emily is working with them on this project, and it should be completed in January. At that time, I think it would be great for us to host a marriage course. It's a great opportunity to invite people to an event that offers some very practical help. And then, in the next fall, I would like to offer that Alpha film series again as a follow-up. But the success of all this depends on you, extending the grace given to you to others, inviting people to come. In chapter 13, verse 43, Paul and Barnabas exhorted the believers to continue in the grace of God, that they were to continue a life of trusting the generosity of God. The prayers for the people that were the powerful, sovereign love of God, that he would be at work in, through, and around them, that God would guide them, and that through their words and their lives, they would impact the lives of others. Tomorrow, we celebrate Canada Day. And people will celebrate with parades and barbecues and concerts and fireworks, all great fun things to do. But what we really need to do is pray, to stop and give thanks for our country and humble ourselves, asking God to heal our land, asking him to heal that which is broken, and to order our steps that we would be a light proclaiming the truth. The truth that freedom is found only in him. And we are to pray for one another, entrusting one another to the grace of God, that God would work in our lives to do the work of healing of hearts, minds, and bodies, that we would lead people to Jesus, knowing that grace is just not a doctrine to believe, It is a fact that we can lean on. So yes, we commission others as they leave for various ministry opportunities. We plant churches, like we've done with Makarios. We pray for our leaders, I hope you do, and we pray for one another. Praying as we invite people to events like Alpha. Praying for understanding and boldness as we share about the love and the grace of Jesus. Praying that we would be strong, trusting Him, entrusting people to the grace of God. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, thank you so much for this amazing example of Paul and Barnabas. And Lord, would you fill us today with your Holy Spirit? Would you fill us with joy, with confidence, and with trust in you? Help us to speak so that many will believe. And help us to not be put off by opposition, stirrings, or plots. It does seem that we face more and more opposition these days. Lord, give us the courage to speak boldly for you. And give us the insight and wisdom in regards to how to do this effectively. I pray that you will confirm the message of your grace with miraculous signs and wonders. And may we not shrink back in fear, but knowing life is in you, extend that grace to others. For it is your grace that sets us free. In your name, Jesus, amen. As we sing this final song, Amazing Grace, my chains have been broken, I invite you to come forward for prayer. This is the last Sunday of the month, a time when we just like an opportunity to pray for you. So why don't you stand? I'll invite Stephen ministers to come forward. And if you would like prayer for anything, please come and let us pray for you.